This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories.
Noodlin', written by Richard Billing, narrated by Chris Herron. Dusk brought a storm to mirror Edda's mood. He wiped away the rain arrowing into his eyes, fighting for his footing on the muddy bank leading to Hillkiln. White smoke, fragrant with peat, rose from the chimneys of the squat stone houses ahead, the glow of fires breaking through cracks in curtains to light the trail. Edda hawked and spat. Since before dawn, Edda had sat in his narrowboat, watching, hoping, lamenting. The only cause he had to move was to scoop out the water which seeped through the patched cracks of the hull. He'd second-guessed everything his 40 years of fishing had taught him, from hooks and lines to bait and fishing spots. He'd not even had the slightest knock on his line to stoke his dwindling flame of hope. His own house came into view, windows dark, thatched roof decaying, chimney stack lopsided. He walked straight past, thoughts on one thing alone. Rum. He heard the creak of the sign of Timo's Tavern before he saw the decrepit building. He was drawn to the place like a moth to flame. The din of conversation died when he stepped inside, a dozen pairs of eyes casting their gaze upon him. He was used to the stares, and moving into the room, the chatter soon resumed. The stench of stale mead greeted him first. He ducked under the raven-black beams of the ceiling through instinct after countless bumps on the head. With each step, he fought to lift the soles of his boots, the floor seemingly carpeted with sap. It altered some people's walks, particularly after they had a few tankards of ale. In their usual corner beneath the window, which appeared to have never been wiped, he found his friends, Reg and Yeme. "Nice of you to join us," Reg said as Edda took off his oiled coat and hung it on a set of antlers upon the wall. "Yeme's been eyeing your rum."
"How fared the fishing?"
Yeme asked, handing Edda a wooden cup.
"Shit!"
Edda knocked back the dark liquid in one, savoring the burning taste of honey and spices.
"Any sign of that monster fish yet?"
Reg asked, stirring a chuckle from Yeme. Edda was too sober for jokes. He made for the bar.
"You're round, Ed,"
Yeme said. Edda weaved through rickety chairs and tables. He passed Egg and Tam, the pair frowning at their game of generals. Almost every day for 2 decades, they had played each other, and still their competitive edges remained sharp as a whetted blade. Deep in conversation at the bar were the two Pats, sat upon stools which groaned with the weight of their paunches. The duo had spent their lives fishing the Great River, but now, like most men in Hillkiln, they worked the ferries, shipping soldiers and travelers east across the Great River.
"Lo, Ed,"
they said in chorus, raising their wooden tankers.
"How's it going, fellas?"
"Nigh bad,"
the smaller of the Pats said. Despite a head of gray hair, his mustache remained charcoal black. Reg called him the Hearth Sniffer.
"How's yourself?"
the taller Pat slurred in a congested voice which drove Edda to the brink of madness.
"Can't complain."
"Good hole?"
Mustache Pat asked.
"Few small ones."
If small meant non-existent.
"Seems to be the way now," Nasal Pat said. "When I was a lad, they jumped on the hook. Suicidal bastards. Ever since those trawlers from Pietilos moved in, it's fell off a cliff."
Good things never last," Mustache Pat said.
"Hear, hear,"
said his namesake, raising his drink.
"If you're thinking of hanging up your hooks, my lad said there's plenty of work going on at the Pietilos farms. They've just started clearing 3 miles of forest for fields. You'd have to move to that shithole of a city, mind,"
Mustache Pat said before taking a swig of mead as if it was his last.
"You've got the ferries, too. Piss easy work and it pays for the ale,"
Nasal Pat said. Edda gritted his teeth. All he heard nowadays was, "Ferry this and ferry that."
"I'm a fisherman. Always have been, always will.
As if sensing the rising tension, Timo limped into view behind the bar.
Three, if you will, Toy,
Edos said. The bronze-skinned landlord nodded and went off to fetch the drinks. Edda admired Timo, the only man in Hillkiln never to complain. He lost an arm fighting the Ikadins in the Northern Wars decades ago, and with his discharge pay, opened his tavern. Edda often wondered if he regretted it. The legs of a chair scraped against the floorboards over by the hearth. Michael, a squat, aging man, waddled toward them, trying to dodge chairs, but striking every one with his arse and a cannonball gut.
No, Mike, the Pats began again.
Edda nibbled at his nails, thoughts of how he could make some coins swirling like smoke through his mind. He knew nothing of farming, and after a life on water, working land seemed a strange prospect. The ferryman option was his least favorite. Every time he looked to the main flow of the 4-mile-wide Great River, the image of his father and brothers being swept away by the churning waves flooded his mind. Not a shred of him wished to cross that unforgiving stretch.
Reg and Yeme should know better. They were with me on that day.
That left him with one option, fishing. Timo reappeared carrying 3 cups in one bear-like hand.
1.5 cups, please, Ed.
Edda leaned in, elbow on the bar.
Any chance you could stick it on the tab?
Timo frowned, barrel chest rising.
You know I'm good for it. I've got a big catch coming. I can feel it.
This is the last time.
Edda nodded and hurried off before Timo changed his mind.
Cheers, Ed,
Reg and Yeme said in chorus as he set down the cups. As Yeme opened his mouth to speak, Mikel erupted into a verse of an old fisherman song, 100 kappa a day, his bass voice filling every corner of the room.
Oh, 1 kappa, 2 kappa, 3 kappa, 4, I'm gonna beat my record score.
Edda rubbed at his temples.
5 kappa, 6 kappa, 7 kappa, 8, I'm gonna need a bigger plate.
The 2 Pats joined in along with a few of the others, but after the 3rd rendition, the song lulled, much to Edda's relief.
Do you remember Beritha?
Yeme asked him, licking his upper incisor, which had a habit of protruding over his bottom lip. It made Edda conscious of his own disfigured teeth. He scratched his beard. Hard shells had formed over the bottom row, leaving him with a boar-like underbite.
Didn't she live next to you when you were lads?
That's the one. She's dead.
Dead?
The paler,
Yeme said, lighting his tobacco pipe with the candle upon the table. Edda didn't know what to say. So many succumbed to the paler nowadays, he'd grown indifferent.
Nasty end, Reg said.
Edda agreed. Incessant vomiting and diarrhea, both the color of eggshell. Skin turning translucent.
I remember her well. Lovely rosy cheeks and blonde hair. I'll never forget that day she shot you down, Yem.
What happened again, Reg?
Edda asked, forgetting his woes. Yeme's cheeks flushed. Reg strummed his fingers on his chin, feigning forgetfulness.
It comes back to me now. Didn't little Yem go picking daffodils for his lass? Got stung by a wasp, if I remember correctly. Right on the nose. But that didn't stop him. He wiped away his tears and waited outside her house with a nose like a smacked ass.
I didn't cry,
Yeme shouted, cheeks beetroot red. Reg continued.
And when she finally showed up and he asked her to go for a romantic stroll along the riverbank, what did she say?
Edda shrugged, though he knew the answer.
He's too small.
They burst into bronchitic hysterics. Reg slapped the table, sloshed his drink. Edda's sides burned. Yeme glared at them, jaw clenched.
Pipe down, would ya?
Egg shouted across the room. Always the moaner. Too loud, too bright, too dark, too hot, too cold.
All right, you bald bastard,
Reg shouted back.
"What's that on your face, Ed? Is that a smile?" Yime asked. "You're better off with a frown."
Edar laughed off the joke, but it brought an end to his mirth and a quiet fell around the table.
"So, when are you going to join us on the ferries?" Reg asked.
Each time Edar heard the word ferry, a pain stabbed in his temples, like a hook sinking into it.
"No point asking him that, Reg," Yime said. "He's still chasing this monster fish he reckons he saw."
"I did see it,"
Edar snapped, rousing laughs from his friends.
"How do either of you know? You don't even fish anymore. You don't see what I see."
"Which is nothing," Reg said.
"I'll prove it to you."
Edar's anger flared like a geyser.
"Oh yeah? How are you going to do that?"
"I'm going to catch it."
"Piss off, Ed. There's not even a lily pad left in that river, let alone a monster."
Edar downed what was left of his rum and stood.
"Where are you going?" Reg asked.
"To catch this fish."
"Now? It's pitch dark."
"And it's pissing down," Yime added.
Edar paid no attention. He donned his coat, strode to the door, and stepped into the night.
Edar marched along the muddy road. He hawked and spat again at the sight of the houses and their contented inhabitants. Hilken wouldn't exist without fishing. It had paid for roofs to keep them dry, fires to keep them warm, fed when hungry. How could they turn their backs on the thing which made them? They should have fought back against the bastards from Pietilos. Instead, they accepted it. He would not become one of them, toiling in the mud, laboring in stifling heat, risking his life to shepherd soldiers across the river. He would show them all the foolishness of their ways. Edar turned onto the path leading to the great river. Old friend, old foe. Its swollen waters gushed by in the darkness, eating away at the bank. Over the rush, he heard shouting, and turning around, spotted Reg and Yeme jogging toward him, lanterns swinging, shoulders and necks bunched, a futile attempt at shielding themselves from the wind and rain. "Ed, let's go back. We can do this tomorrow," Yeme said between wheezes.
Edar paid no attention.
"You fellas ever been noodling?"
"What in Tevye is noodling?" Reg asked.
"Some fisherman you are. Didn't your paws ever show you?"
He tutted, but such a slight sound was lost amongst the roar of the river.
"Noodling's the oldest way to fish. You don't need no bait or tackle. Just your arm, a sound grip, and a whole lot of might. This time of year's the best to do it, when they're nesting."
"When what's nesting?" Reg asked.
"Catfish. You stick your hand in the nest, and it snaps at you to protect its eggs. When it bites, you grab its jaws or gills, and you pull like mad."
"You're bloody mad," Yime said.
Though he would never admit it, Edar had only tried noodling a handful of times back when he was a teenager. He still remembered the first time the catfish had grabbed his wrist, thrashed and pulled. For days after, his arm had hurt too much to move. He didn't feel drunk, but what he intended to do held all the hallmarks of a drunken idea.
"Where are you taking us?" Yime demanded.
Deaf to his protests, Edar led them down a game trail. He hopped over a fallen tree with Reg close behind. Branches snapped, followed by a thud and a squelch. Yime groaned.
"Help me up."
Reg folded over in laughter.
"Look at the state of me."
Mud covered Yeme's back, hands, elbows, even speckled his balding pate. His lantern had extinguished, too. A smile even managed to break through the darkness of Edda's mood.
"This is such a stupid idea, Ed. Let's turn back. There's Rome waiting for us back at Toymo's. It's Reg's round."
"No, it ain't," Reg said.
"We aren't far now," Edar said.
"You're such a stubborn old bastard," Yime muttered as he wiped his soiled hands on his jumper.
They reached an old willow hanging over the river, its widened roots submerged in the ink-black water.
"Here it is,"
Edar began taking off his boots.
"You joining me?"
"What, in there?"
Holy heck, Reg said.
Well, when the fish grabs my hand, I'll need you to stop it from dragging me under.
If a fish grabs your hand, Reg corrected.
But if it looks like I'm struggling, we'll jump in and get you. Now get on with it. My balls are turning into hailstones.
And don't be pretending just to get us wet, Yeme said. Reg punched him in the arm.
Why are you giving him ideas like that?
Eddah lowered himself into the shoulder-high water, body shuddering with the cold. His toes sank into the silty bed, softer than any woman he had known. He groped the bank, seeking the nest his father had shown him, if it still existed.
What you looking for? Reg asked.
A hole.
What about behind those reeds?
Eddah shuffled over to where Reg pointed. Sure enough, there it was.
This is bigger than I remember,
he thought, feeling the edges a few feet beneath the surface. In what felt like a futile effort to bar the hole, he placed his legs before it. Eels flopped about in his stomach, threatening to escape from both ends. Turning back wasn't an option. If he did, he might as well burn his tackle and drop a boulder through the hull of his boat.
See you soon, fellas.
Eddah took a deep breath and dove. Water rushed into his ears and deadened his hearing. What little light there was faded as he knelt before the abyss-like hole. He counted himself down, pausing at the last, and thrust his arm inside as far as it would reach, hand in a fist. He waited. Further he strained, chest burning, still as a pond on a summer's day. Eddah returned to the surface, gulped in air.
Come on.
Reg and Yeme said something, but he returned to the dark, fluid world before they could get out more than a handful of words. This time, he stuck both head and shoulders into the hole, stretched his arm even further. His heart throbbed in his ears, skipped a beat, a ripple, or his imagination. He moved his hand around, enticing, provoking. In response came a surge. It didn't just take his hand, it swallowed his arm. Jaws clamped down beneath his shoulder, and a head like a rock crashed into his own, pushed him back into the river. Lights flashed before his eyes. Nausea hit his stomach. Darkness consumed him until pain exploded in his arm. The catfish shook from left to right with a tightening grip. Eddah broke the surface, spat water, cried out, breathed deep. Barbels stabbed his cheeks. Enraged grunts sounded in his ears. It hauled him back down, provoking another wave of intense pain. His arm was almost certainly broken. He could barely feel his fingers. He couldn't let the beast take him without a fight. Hand numbing inside its mouth, he tried to grab onto its gills, to gain some control. His fingers caught onto its bony gill rakers, and the catfish grew more frantic. It began to rotate its body, a death roll. Pain like no other pushed Eddah to the edge of consciousness. The coldness of the water kept him awake. Water poured into his mouth, up his nose, and he began to sink, the fish pulling him down.
What a fool I am.
Something grabbed his other arm, a firm, familiar touch. Hands. Eddah hung in the water, pulled in two directions. Pain consumed his body, but he was spent. He needed to rid himself of it, to give up and let go. And as easy as releasing a breath, he did. Eddah plummeted into darkness deeper than a starless sky. It shifted about him like a slow current. He could hear no sound save his own breath and the slowing beat of his heart, could feel neither warmth nor cold. He spotted a minuscule light flickering amid the gloom, growing brighter. It was approaching him, and as it did, it began to flash like lightning. Each one burned an image in his vision. Empty nets laid out in his boat. Scores of trawlers with their giant nets trailing behind. The faces of those he tried to forget. His mother, father, brothers, wife, daughters. The light flashed once more. The visions disappeared, and he found himself standing on the bank of the great river, water unusually still. Perfect fishing conditions. A brilliant sun rose over the mountains of the opposite bank, sent a streak of orange light across the surface, a light that intensified until it erupted in a blinding, silent explosion. Muffled sounds came to his ears, voices, and the flow of the great river, too, though it sounded different, gentle as a stream. He forced open his eyes, lids like weights, and saw the moons hanging above him. Around them, the stars burned like a legion of fireflies. It seemed such a long time ago when he last looked at them.
"Ed!" his friends shouted. "Did I get the bastard?"
he mustered the strength to say. To his side, he heard a guttural growl and something slapping mud. It seemed like hours before Reg replied.
"You got him, Ed."
Richie Billing writes fantasy fiction, historical fiction, and stories of a darker nature. His short fiction has been published by, amongst others, Kazine, Tan Staffel Press, Bewildering Stories, Liquid Imagination, The Magazine of History and Fiction, Aether and Iker, and Far Horizons. And his debut novel will be published by Fiction Vortex in spring 2020. He co-hosts the podcast, The Fantasy Writer's Toolshed, a venture inspired by the requests of readers of his book, A Fantasy Writer's Handbook. Most nights, you can find him up into the wee hours, scribbling away or watching the NBA. Find out more at richiebilling.com. Hey guys, hope you enjoyed that story. Richie Billing is actually a returning author on this channel. The last time I had a story of his, I believe it was episode number 60, Ducks. So if you liked this, definitely be sure to check that out. I'll put a link in the description so you can find it. And before you go, be sure to subscribe. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.